Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is from our gospel lesson, Luke chapter 17. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. 'Tis the season to be thankful. And we should be thankful in this season and at all times because God has indeed blessed us. A paraphrase of Luther's first article, The Explanation. He has given us clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife, children, land, animals, and all we have. He richly and daily provides us with all that we need to support this body and life. All this he does only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in us. For all this, it is our duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. Obey, the last word there. Next to last word. And this is what exactly the lepers in our story did. Jesus tells them to go and show themselves to the priests, and they did. They obeyed. And then on the way, they realized that they had been healed. What a gift that was. Not only are they given relief from this terrible disease, but also because of this healing, they were now able to be declared clean by the priest and gain entrance into public worship again. There they could serve God and bring him their thanks and praise. And so it happened that the nine continue on their way to worship God in the temple in Jerusalem. And yet one turns back to worship at the feet of Jesus, offering praise and thanks to God, to the one who healed him. And then Luke throws this zinger in. This man was a Samaritan. You see, the Jews thought that the Samaritans were kind of misfits. They did share a common heritage, but they had intermarried with other nations, with heathen nations, idolatrous nations. The Samaritans only accepted part of the Hebrew scriptures, and they did not worship in Jerusalem, on the mount there, but only at Mount Gerizim. Jerusalem. That's where Jesus sent those lepers, to Jerusalem. And we know that that's where Jesus was going as well, to Jerusalem. But he was going for a different purpose than they. Those lepers, when they got to Jerusalem, probably received little or no notice. Perhaps the cleansing of a leper in those days was kind of business as usual for the priest. But Jesus, when he arrived in Jerusalem, that was a different story. There he would receive harsh treatment by the priests, by the elders and the scribes. Those lepers would be sprinkled with the blood of a bird, shaved and bathed. But Jesus would be scourged till he bled. He would be blindfolded and mocked. The lepers would bring their sacrifices to the temple. But Jesus would become the once for all sacrifice on the cross. He would be the fulfillment of all the sacrifices ever offered in the Old Testament. He will be killed and on the third day rise again. Maybe we can begin to see that this text is not so much about who did what or who didn't do what or who was most grateful. But isn't it about right worship? The nine were all about following the laws of Moses, seeking God's gift in observances and sacrifices, and seeking God in the temple. They lacked the faith that saw Jesus as the new temple, the one who has come to fulfill the law of Moses perfectly, the perfect Lamb of God come to take away the sin of the world. God is here in the flesh, in the person of Jesus, in the living temple. So the text is not about worship, not on Mount Gerizim or on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, but is it about worshiping in spirit and truth, worshiping in the name of Jesus, worship where Jesus is present. Worship in the faith that clings to Jesus and his saving work. The Samaritan, his worship points to what Jesus will accomplish when his journey ends in Jerusalem. His act of worship acknowledges and confesses that Jesus is the Lord. This is true worship. Worship that grabs hold of the cross with the faith that Jesus died for me. Because of this faith, the Samaritan is not merely physically healed. Note what Jesus says. Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. But it could be translated, your faith has saved you. So there was more going on than just this Samaritan being healed. That is the same faith that we have. And so we have come here to this place at this time to worship and give thanks to God, who comes to us in his word and sacrament. And in those words and in the sacrament, he declares that your faith has indeed saved you. Now we can see in common elements of worship in what happens in this episode. Now, all 10 lepers come to Jesus in this similar way that we come to Jesus. Jesus, Master, have mercy upon us. Don't they mirror our own words that we say or sing? Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. For centuries, Christians have uttered this simple prayer for mercy as they come together to ask the Lord to hear them and to help them in their trouble. Now, after these words, the similarities between our worship and that of the nine lepers differs dramatically. Those nine head off to the temple to be declared clean by the priest. But the tenth returns to Jesus, who is the great high priest. And he is the one who declares him to be not just clean, but to be righteous. For Jesus has much more to offer. He offers himself on behalf of the whole world in his coming death on the cross. He offers himself for the eternal salvation of all who come to him in faith. In this season of Thanksgiving, we are very mindful of the gifts of God, especially the bounty of the fields and of gardens, which give us the turkey or ham or whatever the main dish is, the pies, and all the sides that go along with it. But right here, this evening, God offers us the most precious of his gifts. You see, our service tonight, as our service on Sunday, is called the Divine Service. Here, God serves his divine gifts, his means of grace, word and sacrament for us. One word that we use to describe the Lord's Supper is the word Eucharist. And of course, that's a word that derived from a Greek word which means to give thanks. So with this word in mind, when we gather for the divine service, and when we receive the Lord's Supper, we are actually giving thanks to God, receiving from God the wonderful gifts of life and salvation, which we do not deserve in the least, is in itself an act of thanksgiving. I guess, I hate to use illustrations, but this one comes to mind. How do you give thanks to someone who has prepared a sumptuous meal? How do you give thanks? You ask for more. And so we gather here this occasion and every Sunday, asking for more, of God's grace and mercy in the forgiveness that he gives to us so freely with his Son. Like the Samaritan, we come into his presence as we approach the table, kneeling or bowing, showing our humility, acknowledging that Jesus Christ is truly present in the bread and the wine. For he says, "This is my body, this is my blood." And so we receive in thanksgiving the very body and blood of Christ shed for the forgiveness of our sins. Jesus dismisses the Samaritan by pointing him to his faith, which itself is a gift of God. "Rise and go your way, your faith has made you well." And again, another translation of that would be, "Rise, journey, your faith has saved you." Jesus is referring much more than just a healing. That eternal salvation through faith has been received. And now Jesus invites this man to continue his journey of faith. In the same way, after receiving his gifts of life and salvation in thanksgiving, Jesus invites each one of us to continue our way, to journey as his people, as his pilgrims in our walk of faith. In the name of Jesus, amen.